0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, welcome along to Tuesday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I'm Gordon DL, and with me in the studio tonight, we have Falkers Brian Graham and our own Gordon Duncan.
What a pro. Technical difficulties with my mic at the start, and you have stepped up. That was out. I can just go up the road.
Correct.
That was, and you had 5 seconds warning to do that as well. The consummate professional.
Never stuttered as well. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Brian Graham, you're in the presence of broadcasting greatness. Look at this man. Look
at you. When he goes to other things, I've got to say bigger and better.
I know which seat I'm going to. I've signed a lifetime contract in here, but it's good to know that if I ever keel over during the show, you've got my back. This anyway, I can't even follow that. Welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the dust settles on another busy weekend, we've had a Scotland squad yesterday. Steve Clark saying he's 50-50 on his Scotland future, but believes the ball is in the court of the Scottish FA. And as we said, it's all still about the weekend. It is only Tuesday night, so what about the title race now? Lots to get through. 0141 951 1025. You in that top six yet, Brian Graham? No, still not. What is it? 1 point away,
maybe? There or thereabouts, but we're still not over until it's over, so hopefully we can take care of business on Saturday against St Mirren.
Nonsense. It's done and dusted. The top six is cemented. The title race will be between the top three. My big concern is when I look at the bottom six, who do we rule out of the relegation battle? Because there's not a lot of points there. You look at Dundee, for instance, 32 points, down to Kilmarnock, 24, with a lot of games. Big Marv seems to just be grinding out results, as in draws. A couple of three-pointers would be beneficial to him. But I'll tell you what, when the split comes, it'll be absolutely brilliant. But three big games up until then.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. As always, here until just before 8 o'clock, and keen to get all your thoughts. The weekends are so big, they're so dramatic, exciting and consequential at the moment, that by Tuesday night we're still very much digesting what happened over the weekend. I think we had a couple, maybe one or two Hearts fans last night. It'd be nice to hear a bit more from you, because you just know that Glasgow is looking over and saying that the pressure is starting to set in, and that this is heading in one direction and one direction only. But I suspect you'll feel differently about it, so let us know your thoughts after that defeat against Kilmarnock. 0141 951 1025. Is it as simple as Celtic have a better chance than Rangers because they're 1 point and one place better off? Is it as simple as that? Or, Rangers fans, are you seeing something in there that makes you think you could be the ones to come from third in mid-March to go and win this title? Whatever it is you want to get off your chest from the weekend, do it right now, please, on the phones. And like we said, there's a lot going on as we slowly, I think, now build up to that World Cup as well. A friendly squad announced yesterday, Finlay Curtis amongst those named. Perhaps that was the biggest headline, the biggest surprise. And Steve Clark talking, we've got fresh stuff from him on his future, says he's 50-50. I think a lot of people thought it would be over after the World Cup, but maybe not. So what do you make about that? Same number, 0141 951 1025. How was your birthday? Happy birthday for yesterday.
Thank you. Yeah, it was very, very enjoyable. Because we
of course set you up, courtesy of the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. Mm-hmm. We made a big play of this on the show last week. They got in touch for some unknown reason to offer you dinner, drinks, mm-hmm, a night out for your birthday. And you don't turn down a freebie, do you?
I never turn down a freebie, no. I went along to the show, absolutely brilliant, really
enjoyed
it.
What was it called again? Fesshole.
Fesshole. Yeah,
I don't think that's your type of humour.
Oh no,
I was worried about
honestly,
you.
Honestly, I was splitting
you
my sides.
It, were you?
Yeah, I was loving it. Absolutely fantastic.
What was better, that or the free steak meal you got
the
before?
Free steak meal.
I thought you might say that.
That was the best part. That's what he couldn't wait to tell me when I came in the night. Free steak, wee glass of wine. He really enjoyed the show last night.
Yeah, it was really a nice evening. Thank you very much to whoever got it organised for me. I really appreciated it.
You sound it. On a more serious note, and it's another big weekend, isn't it? I mean, what do we? What do you take away? Where are you now? Have you changed your mind?
No,
you're not allowed to change it as such, but just wondering how you're feeling.
Well, I stuck my neck out at the beginning of the season. I went with Celtic. I'll stick with Celtic. I'm not 100% confident because it's a three-horse race. Of course it is. It's not about performances now for me. It's about getting over a line, getting the 3 points, putting pressure on the other teams. If you play first, make sure you win your game. And I think there'll be a lot of twists and turns, especially when we get these three games out the road. We get into the split, and you look at the games in the split, they're going to be a lot of difficult games there. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And it's great to see Falkirk have cemented their top six place. And I know John listens. John, you don't need to text him. You're in the top six.
You've given us the Falkirk perspective on that issue. How was the game at Aberdeen? Is it a bit different when you've got a new manager, Stephen Robinson, taking over? Does that, you know, change the preparation about an unknown quantity?
Yeah, we thought they would get that bounce. And we thought, see, to be fair to Aberdeen, I thought they worked extremely hard for each other. They got their noses in front. But overall, I thought we'd probably done enough to get our point in the end. There was nothing really in the game. It probably looked like a 0-0. Obviously, there was a mistake in there. We lose a goal, but we came roaring back, got the goal. And then I think if it was an hour 10 minutes, we might have went on to win it. But we'll take the point. It's 4 out of 6 at Pittodrie for a team that's come up for the Championship. So that's a good return. 7 out of 9, so we'll take that. Now it's about moving forward. We've got another big game against St Mirren to look forward to at the weekend at home. And then we'll obviously a couple of games before we get to the split.
I said it, you know, looking for Hearts fans to phone Gordon in particular, because I feel like that's just the obvious accusation. It was just laid out that as soon as Hearts dropped points, people would just automatically say that it was something to do with pressure or bottle or nerves or something, when of course there are loads of reasons that you can drop form or lose a football game or perform badly. But do you see this as a really damaging weekend for them, or one that they can recover from?
Well, they normally recover, don't they? First and foremost, I think you've got to give a lot of credit to Kilmarnock. They're battling for their lives. I thought they were excellent on the night, and they deserved their 3 points. Of that, there was no doubt. But Hearts have been in this position before. We were all waiting for a bubble to burst, as we say. They would lose a game, then you'd be thinking, right, if they lose the next one, then we're right in full steam. But Derek McInnes always gets his team to respond. They're 30 games played, Gordon, they're still top of the league. So there's bags of positives to be taken from where Hearts are at this moment in time. But you're looking over your shoulder and you've got the big two breathing right down your neck. So it will be nervous times, and Hearts really need to bounce back this weekend.
We have been speaking about the excitement and the twists and turns that are going to come. And for the weekend there, it was Hearts to blink. Celtic and Rangers both get the victory. Hearts lose 1-0 down at Kilmarnock. Even second half, they'll probably shaded the game, but they never really done enough to get that goal. I think they'll be looking really forward to getting Shanklin back as well, and Boy Devlin in the middle of the park. I think they've missed them, but I think they've coped well without them. But I think they would be a big, obviously, no, they'll be a big hit coming back to full fitness for them, because that could get them over the line. And as Gordon says, it's a free horse race now. We all spoke about Motherwell a couple of weeks ago, but they fell off it. So now it's the two, big two in Glasgow and one from Edinburgh. It's going for the title.
Let's go on 01419511025. Zach is on. Zach's a Rangers fan. How would you sum up your thoughts at the moment, Zach?
Good evening, guys. How are you doing? Is it okay?
Yeah, good, thank you.
I just don't like this 4-2-2-2 formation. I don't think it works. I think he's trying to play two number nines, because obviously he doesn't want to drop Chermiti, and he's obviously bought in Nadiri, so he's playing the two number nines together. But one's sort of playing out of position, and then it's just not working. The balance isn't there. It should be, for me, I would play a 4-3-3 and play Nadiri up top, because Chermiti's had enough attempts to play up top on his own and it's not worked. But I think Nadiri is the type of boy that would get the goals if he was playing as a number nine.
Just go back to a couple of weeks ago, Zach, when they were at home at Hearts, when they played that formation, they get the victory and everybody liked the fact that he went with two up front. Then obviously in the game against Celtic at Ibrox, they go 2-0 in front. Obviously they draw the game, but people were happy with that first half performance. But obviously at the weekend, they get the job done. It probably wasn't their best performance, but they get the job done. At this time of the year, it's probably about just getting those 3 points and keep putting the pressure on some team at the top.
If I'm honest with you, you know, Zach's talking about if you're preferring one striker, I don't think any of the strikers are really hitting the form. The only thing you'll say about Chermiti is
he certainly looks like he's capable of a lot more.
Show my Hearts or Rangers game, Celtic game. Yeah. He knows where the back of net is at times. Nadiri, for me, look, he's just in the place, but he's offered nothing for me. I don't see Nadiri as the one to lead the line and get you to the title. I really don't. I know you've got Majoski there. He doesn't really sort of fancy him. Look,
so is that Zach maybe onto something then? Because if you, the brief history of it, I think it was the two strikers in the Queen's Park game. Nadiri was one of them. Mm-hmm. They won 8-0, obviously. But then you kind of caveat it by saying it was Championship opposition. did they come away from it in the Motherwell game and drop points? So went back to it in the Hearts game, and as Brian says, it worked. But then really since then, Livingston, yeah, the first half was good against Celtic, but the second half wasn't. They played two strikers and carried very little threat over 120 minutes in the next game. And Zach's obviously looking at that at the weekend and saying that, is it working as well as people thought it was previously?
Well, the evidence is probably not. At St Mirren the other night there, they were, I thought Rangers were as poor as I've seen them for a long time. I think the big problem for Rangers isn't the formation, isn't it? Sorry. I don't think they've got anybody creative from the middle of the park.
Yeah, but you're playing one fewer of them to accommodate the two strikers.
And if you're playing with your two wide guys to give you ammunition, for me, I would probably change it a little bit. I would probably stick Moore in behind my front two and give him the licence to go and play, because I think when you give Moore the licence to go and play, he can hurt.
So where's the width come from?
I think fullbacks. You get two fullbacks.
Not if you play Dujon Sterling.
You get two. Well, me personally, I like Tavernier, I've got to say. Roman's on the other side. Well, he scored the goal at St Mirren.
To be fair to Roman, he's been a breath of fresh air since he came in. Tavernier, obviously, people get on his back, but his record's unbelievable. And see, as a striker, centre forward, especially with the two big guys, Tavernier's delivery to put into the box is next to nothing. He's probably the best in Scotland at it.
But he played at the weekend.
Yeah, but we can't just all throw something on Tavernier. I think if you get the majority Sterling or Tavernier going down the flanks and that's where your width's coming from, I would much rather take my chance of a centre forward, and Brian may be different or agree, if Tavernier was whipping the ball in, because I think you would get probably more quality. I like the two up top. I think it's very attacking. I like seeing teams doing that. But as I said, I think that if you're two wide men, for instance, you look at...
Are they both contributing enough?
Kasama, to me, I said it when they were talking about Curtis going to Kilmarnock, and it's okay now to kid on that you're smart after the event, but I said that I would not have let Curtis out the building and kept Kasama, right? Because he's offered absolutely nothing. He's given nothing to Rangers. That's why just now, if you're going to keep the two, I would just flick it about a little bit and stick Moore in behind and say to Moore, go on the ball and make things happen. So, and I think it caused problems.
So what do you make of Nadiri, Zach?
Right, I think, Gordon, I think that's quite unfair what you said about Nadiri personally, because I don't think Nadiri's ever in the position that Chermiti's in, because Nadiri's having to play out wide to let basically Chermiti play as the number nine, and Chermiti's then having to go out wide.
Why does he have to go out wide, Zach, when you've got Moore in one flank and Kasama in the other flank? Why does Nadiri have to go as a second striker, go out wide? I don't understand that.
You know yourself, Gordon, right? See, if you're playing two number... If you're playing like a number nine and a number... Like, so when you had Haitley and McCoys, they were always beside each other.
Yeah.
If he's making main play like that, they're never beside each other. Nadiri's way off with the coach, Chermiti, so there's too big a gap for a start.
Right, okay. I know what you're saying there, no, because I get brought up playing as always a two. In the days it was a 4-4-2 or whatever, or 3-5-2 or whatever. But you always played two strikers, and you played as a striker partnership. As maybe one would go a little bit short, and the other one would spin.
Well, in this day and age, people don't know how to play that anymore. Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the under instructions of the manager saying to Nadiri, listen, get yourself out wide and you're no a threat or whatever. They've got to get together and go. If they've got to play as a two, then the two of them have got to play as a partnership, like two centre halves play as a partnership, two midfield players, one knows when to go, another one knows when to sit, and everything like that. So it becomes partnerships for me. I just look at Nadiri, look, I'm not questioning his work rate, I think the boy works very hard, but I don't see him as a lone striker that's got to get you over the line to win a title here.
To be fair, I think he's got something.
But
it's just getting that consistency, and as you said, when that partnership is learning counter movements, one's going short, one's going long, I don't see enough of it. Sometimes I see them, two of them on the back line at times, they're two. And obviously, as Zach's saying there, he's further out, but sometimes they're in too close to each other as well, and they're too easily marked. And wide players as well, Kasama, Moore, how many deliveries to put in the box? I don't think they're creating enough for the two strikers to give them the ammunition to go and score the goals.
I think Danny Rule's running out of times to play Gassama off the right before he really starts getting a bit more stick for it. Feels like every Rangers fan you hear from now, read about, every one of them seems to be saying, stop playing him off the right.
I wouldn't play him off the right. If I'm playing Moore off the left, then Gassama for me is not on my team. I honestly don't see, but then
you've got a problem because Scott Olsen's the biggest reputation of all the signings, and he's not necessarily.
And you've got Antman, and that's not hit the ground either. So they've got.
But to be fair to you, Scott Olsen, when he plays the goals against Hearts, it was his delivery.
Mm.
Where I don't think Gassama gives the two strikers that firing power. Where his delivery was on the money, and they go and score goals from it.
It's easy after event, Brian. I couldn't believe it. You looked at young Curtis, and he was getting game time, and even when he come off the bench, he brought the excitement to Ibrox. He brought the excitement to the players, and you knew that he was going to give you something. And I couldn't believe when they let him walk out the door, and they've kept Gassama.
It's a good debate, Zach. Thank you for bringing it up. Hopefully we will speak again soon. That was Zach in Glenrothes. What about Serge in Shettleston? Take it away, Serge.
Evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Just really interesting about some of the thoughts and views about the league title race. I'm a big Rangers fan. First and foremost, I would say I don't think Hearts have been away. Kilmarnock's a hard place to go to. A lot will come down to what happens after the split. Who plays who and where. Also, I mean, I'm a Rangers fan, die hard, and I believe, yeah, we can win it. My biggest worry is we don't score enough goals. But if I was looking at objectively and I looked at another league, I would have to say Celtic are slight favourites because they've been all the course and distance. Obviously, they'll have ourselves at Celtic Park. But I prefer Rangers coming from behind. I think Rangers actually do better when the trips are done against them. And we've seen this movie before, but I think any of the three can win it. As I say, my heart says Rangers, my head says Celtic get the job done, didn't they? I hate to say it, but today they proved that in the cup game the other week. They seem to get the job done. And that's a mentality thing.
It feels like even the micro detail of how we assess the teams is changing sort of week to week, because Serge is saying doesn't think Rangers score enough goals. I think they've scored the exact same
as Hearts
and a couple fewer than Celtic. At the start, Danny Rule's relative success was built on making them much harder to beat and conceding fewer goals. Then they've just gone through a run there where they've conceded too many. If you talk about two at Livingston, two in the second half at Celtic and so on. But then it was back to a clean sheet at the weekend. So I don't know, even the points gap is obviously very close, but even some of the other stuff as well, you look at the goal difference, Hearts and Rangers both on plus 27, Celtic on plus 24. Like, it is
so tight.
It's
nothing in it.
So tight.
Do you know what could be the big difference here? And obviously it's very easy to say, goals win you games, goals win you championships. I look at Rangers strikers and I don't think they're scoring enough goals.
That's what I've just said, right? The team,
I look at Celtic strikers, I don't think they're scoring enough goals. And then I look at Hearts.
Shanklin, they're the same.
Yeah, but Hearts have now got Shanklin coming by. So a Rangers, a Celtic or a Hearts need one of their big hitters to start finding the back end, a bit of form for the last eight games, which could make just that big, big difference.
100%. But that's the hard part. Scoring goals is the hardest part of the game. And when you've got like a Shankland who's been out for a number of weeks, you're desperate to get him back. You're so close. You've been at the top of the league for a number of weeks. The international break, probably, I don't think if Shankland will be fit this weekend, but if they can get him back for after that international break, then Hearts are favourites. They're top of the league. They've got to be favourites. They've been there for a number of weeks and they're not there for
do you
nothing.
Obviously, you play in that league, Brian, and you've come up against them all. Would you put your last 10 pence on Hearts?
Not right now because of how close it is, but I do believe they can win it. They're a very hard team to play against, very physical. They've got pace in the flanks. They've got goal scorers in their team. They defend particularly well, but as the callers, as you said there, Celtic have been over the course and distance and they're 2 points within top of the league. I think it'll be hard to look away from Celtic right now.
So Serge, you are sort of confident enough. The previous caller seemed a bit concerned about some of the performance levels at the moment. You don't share that, or do you?
Well, no, I can see the biggest watching Rangers, see their biggest problem is Rangers have plenty of possession in the final third, but see sometimes a final ball in the box. I mean, you've seen it particularly against Motherwell was a good example when they managed to finish back Celtic in the two games. And one game,
We get a hell of a lot of balls in the final third, and see a final ball into the box sometimes. It's hitting the first defender. The number of corners we get in games is unbelievable as well. And yeah, Dick Fernandez scores a lot of, we seem to get some joy with corners, but nowhere near the ratio we should. And I said it months ago, that it's not the fact that Rangers don't score as many goals. They don't seem to bury teams when they're heavily on dropping games. But when we really need a goal to make it 2-0 or 3-0, give us a bit of breathing space, we seem to miss making, I wouldn't say gilt-edged chances, but more than 50-50 chances. And I think that's an Achilles heel. I think a ball's into the box, and when we do even get that wee half a sniff, 60-40 chance, more often than not, we don't take it. We don't punish teams.
Good man, Serge. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much. It's a good time to call 0141 951 1025. Jump on and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Gordon Diel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. If you'd like to give us a call, please do. Still reflecting on the weekend. Unless there's something else you want to get off your chest, move on, look forward. We're here for that as well. Plenty of time to reflect more on that Scotland squad yesterday and Steve Clark's comments about his future being 50-50 on it. We can hear them a bit later on as well, but there was loads to get through from the weekend, and it's almost like, Gordon, we were spoiled rotten. We had so many big midweeks, some midweek league games, catch up games in hand. Even Celtic obviously had some European stuff to take care of recently. Now we're starved. We've got a couple of quiet midweeks that we're not used to, and everybody's just desperate for the weekends to come back.
Yeah, but
I'll
tell you who'll not be complaining. The teams probably. You know, the schedule's been hectic for a lot of teams, especially you look at Celtic's fixtures, and still we're in Europe as well. So I think teams will be just glad to get a nice week's training under their belt, Gordon. Important games coming up, and it's important to get the 3 points before the international break as well, because you don't want to be going away on holiday. Maybe you see these players nowadays, they earn so much money flying out to Tenerife and everything for a week's holiday, while we're sitting in studios having to work very, very hard indeed. But look, it's all about the weekend. 8 games to go, plus obviously the semi-finals and the Scottish Cup final. Brilliant. It's really been an entertaining year.
It's the fact that it tightened up even more at the weekend. You know, we were already strapped in for an exciting three-way race, Brian, and it just got even more dramatic, really.
Yeah, it's brilliant, and it's a spotlight. It's on the Scottish game. There's more games now getting broadcast out there as well, and bringing more viewers in to watch it. It's so exciting. And we're speaking with the previous caller about who's going to win it. You can't say who's going to win it, because it is that tight. One of those three can now win it. It's going to go to the wire. We keep saying it every week about twists and turns, and it's at the end of your own game on a Saturday or a Sunday, whenever it is you play, you're actually looking to see how the other three get on, because that's how exciting it is. Even the players that are involved in the league are want to see what's happening. So it's, everybody's fully invested in it.
Robbie is on the line, and he's wanting to speak about one of Brian's teammates, I think, Robbie.
Good evening, Gordon. I just want to make that point to, I've actually got just two questions. I'll make the point about Barney Stewart to Gordon Dale, and I just want to make a point, the second one to Brian Graham.
You need to make your Barney Stewart point to Brian Graham, surely. What does Gordon Dale know?
I was wanting to get an unbiased opinion. That's because it's his fucking teammate. But anyway, I'll just put it to whoever wants to take it on then. And I've got a second question for Lauren Sankin coming back for injury. So it's just about Barney Stewart. I was just wondering if the panel think that Celtic should maybe sign him in the summer or keep their eye on him. Now, what I like about him is even though he's not scoring absolute worldies, it seems to me as if he's got a good instinctive, you know, in between the posts kind of.
Never mind Celtic, he's fine where he is at Falkirk. He's working well under John McGlynn, he's learning his trade, he's doing absolutely fine at Falkirk. I think he's fine where he is at the moment.
On reflection, maybe that is better for you, because he can't win here. He's going to get that text for John McGlynn in a minute saying, shut up, turn his mic off.
I think Mother will be watching him as well. Listen, the boy, it's a fairy tale story, isn't it? The boy's been absolutely brilliant. Went out to Dunfermline on loan, done really well there, come back. It was known that he was probably on the lowest wages in the Premier League, but just went out and done the business, and he's where he's came from, Gordon, and he's getting better and better. Brian will probably know, obviously, firsthand, working and training and seeing the confidence the boy's playing with. And his goal just sums him up at the weekend. Don't get me wrong, you can't help but have an opportunity to score goals when you get crosses like that, and it was absolutely a fantastic
ball from Ethan Ross. Yeah,
brilliant.
But he's still going to find that space, and it's not an easy header. He still has to art his head, and he puts it right in the corner. He's been excellent for a number of weeks, but you've got to give the coaching staff the credit as well, because they felt as if he had a wee injury pre-season. I think it was a bone in his foot. He broke a bone, so he needed game times to go and play. He went to Dunfermline, scored a few goals. That raised a few eyebrows because of the...
Brian, were you a bit surprised? I know it's hard for you, but a bit surprised that weren't a wee call up for him to go and get a bit of experience with the Scotland squad? I'm not saying
I wasn't surprised
to take him to the World Cup, but just to take him in and let him, you know, keep that momentum of his career going, you know, just a little reward for him.
I know everybody was speaking about it because he has been doing so well over the last couple of weeks, but he has been involved in the 21s. He's now called up again to the 21 side. I think there will come a day where he will play for the full national side, but maybe Steve Clarke thinks he's not ready at this present time. But the way he's going right now, it'll not be long before he is there.
I don't for a second think you will comment on moving him on to Celtic or anyone else, but let's ask you for a bit more of the insight, loosely related to Robbie's point. This guy's on a steeper upward trajectory than anything we've seen. If you go from university football to scoring 8 goals for Falkirk in the last 2 months, in the space of a year and a half, that's remarkable. Do you think, can that trajectory continue? You know, is he still getting better all the time? You know,
he comes in every day and he works extremely hard. But the thing is, like, John McGlynn has been notorious for it over the last couple of years of picking gems,
sure,
and coaching them extremely well. He learns how he gets the best out of his players. Big Barnley's no different. You see him in some of his interviews where he probably needs a wee bit of media training, but he's so honest and he'll just say what he's thinking at times. He's one of the most laid back, lovely characters you're going to meet. He's a young boy, he's got a lot to learn, and I think for his own benefit it would probably do him no harm to go and stay with John for a couple of years to learn even more from him, because I do believe one day he will get that move. But right now I think he's absolutely perfect where he is.
And to be fair to Robbie, obviously knows his football, he's noticing the type of goals scored, and this is where maybe part credit Barney Stewart, but part credit what you do at Falkirk. It does seem it's like the same goal quite a lot, isn't it? That low cross that he taps in, the one that you used to love back in the day, and that you
all strikers will tell you, all you want is that ball in the middle of the 6-yard box so you can go and attack it. At times, I'm taking no credit for Barney Stewart, that's John McGlynn and his coaching staff, but I do speak to him on a daily basis, and it's the old one, the old cliche, we get it halfway line, hold it in, pop it off, spin, get yourself in the box. It's such basic information, but it's so true and relevant. When it goes to the wider areas, make sure you're in the box, don't be hanging outside the box, always try to be in that.
I think is he a bit of a throwback in that regard? Some statistician out there can do it for me and add up, what would be the total distance of those 8 goals that you scored? It'll not be that far out, you know, he always seems to be right in the right place.
That's a talent in itself, yeah. Excuse me, getting into the right places at the right times. And long may it continue, because he's been a breath of fresh air since he came back, and long may it continue.
You definitely think Celtic, Robbie, is that maybe a stretch too far at the moment, or are you seeing something there?
Again, it's maybe, that's what I was away to ask the guys, if it was maybe a bit premature, should Celtic keep their eye on him? Because at the end of the day, as if Celtic won again in the summer, somebody else might take him, but I think it's maybe a wee, Kenny might would end up like a Johnny Kenny. I'm not very sure. That's why. But I've had good answers for the guys. Can I get on to the long Gordon Shanklin point now? Is that be all right?
No, sign him as well, are you?
Mm-hmm. No, it's just about the. I was going to make the point. It's a brilliant point because there's two strikers there. An old silver fox. It's not been a striker for a while, and we've got Brian Graham there, who's a current striker. So it's just about Lauren Shanklin.
He's quite old as well, though.
Come on, Gordon.
How do you guys feel? The reason being is I'm a wee bit concerned. Well, I'm a Celtic fan, right? So if Lauren Shanklin's going to be coming back, obviously Cammy Devlin's another one. But more or less, I want to make the point on Lauren Shanklin. How do you guys feel with him being out for so long? I don't know, Gordon, you'll maybe be able to tell me the exact time he's been out, but it's been around about 3 months anyway that he's been out for, maybe even before him. Is it before Christmas or after?
Mid-January against Hatchetmen,
right,
Falkirk.
Okay, so we're about 3 months. I'm just wondering, Brian and Gordon, how did you feel when you came back for that type of injury? And what I'm no looking for, just tell me the truth anyway, is he going to be able to come back for 3 months out? as far as I'm aware, he's only started training this week to come back. How is he going to be in front of goal, do you feel, Brian and Gordon? Because at the end of the day, I'm not waiting for him to be fired in the front within a couple of weeks, right? If he comes on as a sub at the weekend.
Pretty good question, that, because everyone's like,
games to go,
everyone keeps saying, like, oh, no, Shanklin back, which it will be a boost, but it doesn't mean, like, game one, you go and get the kind of best version.
He's coming back at the right time. The number of players Hearts have got, they'll be having a bounce game ready for him in that international week. He'll play the game. Players don't just come back now after an injury when they feel, oh, I'm okay. That doesn't happen anymore. You need to hit certain distances. The sports scientist takes a lot of control over it with the physio, and you need to do certain things before you're back into full-time training. So by the time you actually go back into training, you're raring to go. You're as fit as you can be, and it's just getting that sharpness in training. And then once you get into the games, he'll be ready to go right away. That's my honest opinion on it.
He can be a difference maker, yeah, in this title race.
Yeah, I think it'll be massive for Hearts. I've no fear. Listen, the goals don't move, they don't change. He'll know where they are. He knows how to get the ball in the back of net, and I don't think that'll change. Yeah, probably he'll need that little bit of sharpness outside the box and working and try to get the speed up to speed back to the Premier League, but that'll come in no time at all. But You put the ball, and Brian was touching on it earlier, you put quality balls in there for a striker, the quality of Shanklin, he'll put it in the back of net.
And if he comes back in his first game and he scores after 10 minutes, the confidence comes flooding back. Yeah. You know what it's like as a centre forward, as soon as you get that goal, the confidence comes flooding back.
Is it also about, I'm stating the obvious a bit, but what he does for other people, the way he facilitates other people? Kizeridis is better when Shanklin plays, isn't he? There's no slight on Kabore. He's just not that type. He's just a bit more off the cuff, a bit more
people say
raw.
He's just a goal scorer, but Shanklin's all round game is excellent. His awareness on the pitch, the way he brings others into the play, his demands at the top end, he's a club captain. He's been a huge miss for them. And as you said, the wide players are missing from him as well. Even for a Harry Milne at left back, putting balls into the box, Shanklin would be there to tap them in. So he's going to be such a big player, and he's a key player. He could win Hearts the league when he comes back fit.
Look at us talking about Rangers playing 4-4-2, Barney Stewart, Lawrence Shanklin, Brian Graham and Gordon Dell in the studio. It's all about the old number nines.
Good night. It's about strikers.
It is indeed. Anyway, good time to call. If you want to change the subject, you're more than welcome. But let me tell you about this first. Clyde One. Right, every Friday, someone out there wins life-changing money on Make Me A Winner. Last week it was Eric, he won £600,000, and incredibly, we're upping the ante again, £650,000. Imagine winning that. It says here, £500,000, and then something left over, just £150,000 left over if you win your £500,000. So get in the draw by texting yes to 61025. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules there as well, including the fact that it's over 18s only and lines close 5 p.m. Friday. You're also welcome to call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is £650,000. It's worth bearing that in mind, and all you need to do is answer the phone. So it feels like a bit of a no-brainer to get involved. Good luck from us. Text yes to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dell is here alongside Brian Graham, so why not get involved on tonight's discussion? You decide what it is, really. Bit of a free rein to look back on the weekend, or look ahead to something else, or introduce something we've not thought of. It is up to you. Give us a call, just like Gary in Blantyre has done. Hi, Gary.
Hi, good evening, Gordon. Good evening, other Gordon and
Brian.
Brian, sorry, Brian.
How are you doing?
I hope you're all well. Gordon, excuse me before I start my point tonight, can I just make a wee shout out to somebody?
Go for it.
A team of people. There are a team of people for Bravehearts Boxing Gym in Hamilton. 40 of them, currently boys and girls, guys and girls, who are doing a challenge for Comic Relief, which is 10 ultramarathons in 10 days. Starting last week, last Monday at BBC Studios in Glasgow. And they finish tomorrow, after the last 40 miles, BBC Studios in London, looking to raise money for Comic Relief. Their target was 60,000. I think they were at 55,000 odds. So, great cause. Like I say, 40 miles a day for 10 days in a row.
Brilliant. My goodness, what an effort. I'm tired thinking about that. That is sensational. I was about to jump in and say, Gary, leave the shout out. It's not the GBX. But then I had a feeling it would be, if it's something worthwhile, then I feel bad about it. And that's outstanding. What an effort that is. Gordon Dale was looking at me thinking, ultramarathon to him is going up and down the aisles at Asda. That's about as much exercise as he gets. Anyway, what are you thinking, Gary? Well done to everybody involved, by the way.
Yeah, super. Thanks, Gordon, for me to do that. So I said to your producer, Celtic have took it tight for a lot of angles this year, this season. They've not been up to their usual standards. They've been poor. They've been lambasted for the media, social media, you name it, opposing fans. And quite rightly, to be brutally honest. But I think over the last... they played 5 games in 17 days there, 4 away games in 10, and then obviously Motherwell game there. And I'm just going to give them some credit for being where they were going into those run of 5 games, and to come out the other end with 4 wins and a draw. And by the way, the second half against Motherwell on Saturday, I was fortunate enough to be there with my son. It was great to see them controlling the game against a team like Motherwell, because I think they did in the second half on Saturday. But it'd be easy for Celtic just to kind of lie down and just kind of take it. They're not where they used to be, but they've pulled their sleeves up over the last few weeks, pulled their sleeves up, got the results, and I think they're in a great position to go on and win the league. I do. They've just got that kind of Champions look about them again.
Well, to be honest, Gary, it's very tight up there. There's a possibility not just going on and win the league, possibility of doing a double. Especially under the management of Martin O'Neill and the coaching staff there, it's doing a terrific job. Look, I think everybody gives them credit. You look at Celtic, as much as they are going week to week and they're missing big important players, they've still got a massive squad with a massive wage bill. So I would be shocked if Celtic weren't up there challenging for a title, because that's what the norm is for them. But I think the last 4 or 5 games were tough. It was a tough run for them. They've come out the other end. They're in the semi-final. There's 2 points behind Hearts. And I totally agree. I thought second half against Motherwell, okay, when Motherwell go down to 10 men, it's very, very difficult indeed. But that's not Celtic's problem. And they're well in my shout of winning this league as well. But Hearts and Rangers will have a say.
I think... you can't escape the standards that Celtic have set though themselves, and you earn that, and then you have to live with it. You know, Gary, I think the list that Gary said was lambasted off, you know, media, opposition fans. The loudest criticism by an absolute mile has come from the Celtic fans.
Yeah, when was the last time Celtic lost 7 games in the league over the last couple of number of years? And so when you've been doing so well, they're still the reigning champions. When you've been doing so well over a number of years, when you fall off it a little bit, then people do ask questions. That's the nature of the game. It's a game of opinions. There's always going to be those questions. But there's been no doubt since Martin O'Neill's come back in, he's done extremely well to get them back in the title race. That's where they are. They're still going to have to fight and scratch for everything they get, because the other two aren't going to go away, and that's what makes it so exciting.
So you're feeling pretty confident now, Gary?
Sorry, Gordon, I did mean to mention your fans are probably the biggest critics, so sorry for missing that out. I just think that the last couple of weeks is just kind of, it was either going to make them or break them, where they were getting into this run of games, and it seems to have kind of made them. Players coming back into a bit of form, Tati in particular, just shows you when he kind of plays somewhere near his best, he's hard to live with.
But to be fair to Tati, when Martin O'Neill first came in as well, I thought he was playing extremely well under Martin the first time. Obviously then he goes away. The other manager comes in, he comes back, and then he's getting back to his levels.
Did that at the weekend show how good he can be, Gary? Because he's the one that gets caught. He's the one that gets caught for the Motherwell goal, and yet he did still play well. You know, he did still get plaudits for that performance. That kind of show sort of what he can bring and how, you know, how you kind of miss him when he's gone, sort of thing.
I think Brian makes a great point there, by the way. It wasn't even about the player, it was the system that the player was asked to be played in. I sometimes think, and again, this was my gripe as well for Saturday, sometimes it's better just to get territory is better than possession. Sometimes just hump it up the park. I'm talking Sinisalo. I mean, to give the ball to Hatate, who's got a man on his back 20 yards to goal, it's just hump it up the park, territory, and then face up again and just kind of deal with it for them. But yeah, it was good to come back for it, actually, that, because I haven't been at the game. It felt as if it was a kind of good buzz. And then Motherwell scored. I'm not saying out of nowhere, but Celtic had missed a couple of chances before that. But then the mentality, again, that's the whole mentality thing, just to come back for that. Because 1-0 done against Motherwell, even at Celtic Park after half an hour, it's a tough ask to beat them, because they're such a good team. But I think at the end of the day, we'd be kind of comprehensively deserved to win the match. But yeah, Hatate playing well against making games like that a bit easier for us.
Should Oxlade-Chamberlain have been sent off before all that unfolded though?
I never seen it.
Alright, Arsene Wenger on the phone. Sure you didn't. I don't mind it. Gary and Blantyre, thank you very much on 01419511025. That is the number that you need to get involved. We're just about to run out of time for the first hour of the show, but I think we can probably squeeze one more in if we are quick. Alec and Blantyre, we're sticking in Blantyre tonight. Take it away, Alec. Let's make it snappy if we can.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello there, Gordon.
Yep.
It's Alec and Blantyre.
Hi, Alec. What's your point this evening? Go on, take it away.
Well, I think it's a close finish at the top. We know that. But I think it'll all be decided by referee decisions.
Right.
Because the last 4 weeks has been plagued with VAR decisions. VAR is ruining more football.
Which ones in particular bothered you?
Well, I'm a Rangers supporter, right? Uh-huh. So we'll talk about the penalty kick last minute. Then I watch St Mirren on Sunday, the handball with Godic. Not even looked at.
It would have been looked at.
And then I go to Parkhead and I watch the Celtic games as well. The penalty kick that they got late on. I would have claimed a penalty kick as well. The Motherwell manager didn't think it was a penalty kick. Oxlade-Chamberlain. Aye, should have been sent off at Parkhead. There's four decisions that would have changed all the games.
Yeah, but you've just presented them in one for a start.
That was Rangers back.
Sterling's is a handball.
Yeah.
And Gogic's isn't, because they're not comparable for a start, just because of how high and whatever they are.
And the penalty against Motherwell is a penalty.
Well, do you know what? Let's forget what the Motherwell manager or Alec or anybody else. Let's think about Andy Halliday's vested interest in this at the moment.
Right.
Let's think about who has employed Andy Halliday currently and where Andy Halliday's allegiances lie in this title race. And he didn't have anything wrong with the penalty that Celtic got at the weekend or the red. Yeah, so that might be quite telling. However, to agree with Alec on the last point, he did quite strongly feel that Oxlade-Chamberlain should have been sent off.
Well,
what was your take on that?
Are we talking about for the first tackle or the two?
Well,
I'm not too sure that's a yellow card for me.
No?
No, I don't think it was.
Is it not?
I'd be more concerned about the first one.
But what about once you're on a booking, is that not just stopping a promising attack? It doesn't mean that the, because, you know, side's driving towards the box,
yeah,
isn't he?
It could have been a second booking.
What about the first one, the straight red? Because it's very early in the game.
It shouldn't have mattered when it is in the game. If it's a red card, it's a red card. And
what did you think of it?
I felt he could have been. If I'm playing against him, I would probably want him off for that as well. But VAR don't send him off for it. He gets a yellow card and he gets away with one, probably, in my opinion. But some go for you, some don't. There's been numerous occasions over the course of the season where we've all been debating VAR decision of people's handballs, for example. I've fed up with that handball. I don't even know what the handball rule is anymore. So there's been a lot happened over the course of the season. But regardless of who you support, you're always going to be questioning other people's decisions. That's what's going to happen between now and especially as it cranks up, the heat cranks up towards the end of the season. We're going to have more calls like this.
You know, I support the referees massively because I think it is such a difficult job. But I've got to put my hand up this year and think that, especially since the turn of year, some of the decisions, because I look at, and Brian's right, it's not just Celtic, it's not just Rangers. I look at other teams in the situation. You look at, for instance, if we don't have VAR, people can argue VAR. We don't have VAR. Livingston, who are fighting for their lives down there, are losing a penalty against Hibs, which was never a penalty kick, right? Never in a penalty kick in a million years. Celtic aren't getting the penalty and the sending off because John Beaton never gave it. VAR gave it. So I think the combination between VAR and the referees, and
you kind of need that then, don't you, that comfort blanket,
yeah,
or the fallback, whatever you want to
call it. it just concerns me a little bit that referees just depending so much on VAR refereeing the game for him and helping him out so much.
But on those two in particular that you've mentioned,
yeah,
it is annoying. Everybody knows there's an annoyance, but you'd rather get the right outcome, wouldn't you?
Well, that's it. That's the most important thing. A lot of people saying, obviously the big debates are the offside ones, which is probably they're all correct anyway, but...
Yeah, they're actually not the big debates.
Well,
that they shouldn't be.
No, but put people on the show, debate them. Yeah. And that's why we're on it. But no, I don't think the referees have been great this year, I've got to say.
Alec, thank you very much. Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on down for Beat the Pundit time. It's really hard on a Monday, so we make it much easier on a Tuesday. If you want to call before 7 o'clock, it's 0141 951 1025 and we'll get you on next.
1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale is still here, Brian Graham still alongside him. We've got a special guest for the second hour as well, because as you'll know, over the last couple of weeks we've been working hand in hand with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. They even gave Gordon Dale a freebie for his birthday last night. And we've got Raymond Mearns, who happens to be a Mullow fan, but that, we'll let that slide because don't want anyone thinking me and Gordon Dale have stitched this up. He'll join us in the second part of the show, but we need to play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. How's your form?
Brilliant. I'm in fire. Mm-hmm. I won on Thursday on a tie break.
4-4.
Are you
sure?
Yeah. Well, you did actually,
because that's...
You were close, weren't you?
I was end-to-end.
I actually forgot to mention that, because it's quite rare that you would win in a tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker, yeah.
Tend to scramble.
I just go 100 and take my chances.
Your mind a wee bit. Brian is... another Brian is on in air. How are you, Brian?
I'm good, thank you.
Is this your first time on Beat the Pundit? Have you done this before?
No, it's my first time.
Right, and how's your form usually when you play along at home?
It can vary. It depends on the questions. But between 3 and 5.
Okay. Right, let's
three
see.
3 and 5?
Very specific.
Yeah.
4, we'll call them a 4.
Okay, 4. Between you got a 4 and 8, you're winning.
Right, let's toss the coin and find out which one of you. How's your football quizzing knowledge, Raymond Mearns? Decent?
How's my football quizzing knowledge? I think it's quite good. If it's historical, world and European, and no bad. If it's something that happened last week, forget it.
There's a few that happened last week. Let's see who we go on. If it's the blue side of the coin, it is Brian Graham. He's in the blue seat. If it's the red side, it will be Gordon Dale. Let's see, here we go. And it is blue for Brian. He's going to take on his namesake.
Battle of the Brians.
The Battle of the Brians, indeed, from Ayr. Let's give the guys something else to listen to so that they can't hear us. Brian, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, your 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. Which Rangers player was called up to the Wales squad today?
Pass.
How many red cards has Austin Trusty received this season?
2.
Who was Steve Clarke's first opponent as a Scotland manager?
Pass.
Who won last season's SWPL?
Glasgow City.
How many British teams won in the Champions League last week?
1.
Which team plays at Balmoor Stadium?
Pass.
Scotland will face the Ivory Coast in which English city?
Is it Manchester?
Okay, let's bring him back. Brian Graham, are you ready?
Can't hear you.
Yeah. So that's the whole point. You're not meant to hear me, because then you would hear his questions. But you can hear me now.
Yes, I can.
Good.
Now.
Easy, mate. They're easy.
That's mind games from you.
No, I don't think they are easy.
Oh, I don't think they are. Easy. Although, I do fancy him. I know the areas of football he's
across. He's got
see a couple of these. Anyway, that's the mind games finished. Your 30 seconds starts now. Which Rangers player was called up to the Wales squad today?
Pass.
How many red cards has Austin Trusty received this season?
2.
Who was Steve Clarke's first opponent as Scotland manager?
Pass.
Who won last season's SWPL?
Glasgow City.
How many British teams won in the Champions League last week?
1.
Which team plays at Balmoor Stadium?
Cove Rangers.
Scotland will play the Ivory Coast in which English city?
Liverpool.
Which Rangers player scored a hat-trick in their 5-0 win over Annan in the Scottish Cup?
Mioski.
Okay.
Balmoor, no Peterhead.
Just you wait and you'll find out.
Matondo.
Hold on, I know you. I know my mic wasn't working at the start, and you got to introduce the show.
I feel I'm
you've now, you're now getting above your station.
I'm a bit sorry.
Do you just want to give all the answers out?
No apologies.
For goodness sake, how do you think it went, Brian? In air,
I can beat me by two.
Brian's a man for the arithmetic. He's very specific with his numbers. Let's go through which Rangers player was called up to the Wales squad today. I know you think that's easy, but to be fair, you kind of forget Ravi Mitondo is around, do you not?
Well, we spoke about wingers earlier on. We never even mentioned them.
No, but hold on, it's on his sheet.
What do you mean?
It's on his notes, so he's obviously not reading his notes.
Ah, wait, is it okay? No, there we go. None of you got it. That is Ravi Mitondo. How many red cards has Austin Trusty received this season? It is two. You both got that. Must be something to do with Edinburgh sides. It's Hearts and Hibs, isn't it? He's two red cards. Steve Clarke's first opponent as Scotland manager was anybody? Any takers?
I'm going to go Cyprus.
Oh, you are on fire tonight. What's getting to you? Because it was your birthday yesterday. You're feeling older and
wiser.
Sorry,
sheet.
It's not on my sheet.
Cyprus. Ollie Burke scored a late winner, remember?
I would never have got that.
Hey, tell you what, this is where you've let me down. If you just turned your back in the women's game altogether, you just disregarded them.
Do you know what?
You had that managerial job, you've just dropped it like a you know what.
I thought you was a stick on for that.
Hibs.
Oh, so was I.
Grant Scott will be on the phone to you right now saying, remember me?
Aye, that's poor from you.
That's poor. Glasgow City finished second, so we're still level. How many British teams won in the Champions League last week? You both said one.
None.
Spurs, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City.
High scoring game, miss.
Arsenal and Newcastle drew, so it's 1-1. It's not a classic. Which team plays at Balmoir? It's Peterhead as well. I mean, you kind of
told you
roughly. Aye. Sort of.
I'd be going for a 10.
It's 1-0.
Did you not get that either?
It's in 10.
However, I feel bad for you, Brian and Ayer, because 2 minutes before this show started, Brian Graham, we were walking down the corridor, he said, I'm going to Scotland Ivory Coast next week. So he knew fine well it's in Liverpool. It's Everton's new stadium, isn't it? That's why you're going.
That's why I'm going. I want to go and see the stadium.
So you're going to Tenerife?
I'll come back for that. I'm going to Tenerife
after
first.
That.
Oh, right, okay.
Did your teammate Scott Bain get you the tickets?
I've been on to him, I.
That's why he was just hoping somebody get called up. Didn't care who it was. He was just wanting the tickets. It is Liverpool, which means Brian Graham wins it and even had the chance. You had a bit of comfort at the end. Bojan Miovski was the hat trick.
3-1.
Scorer, 3-1.
That's all right. But with the other Brian, said he'd get 3 or 5.
You still should have done better.
I should have done better. Listen, sometimes a win's a win and you take it.
That Hibs one.
Mate. Yeah.
That Hibs one is just not.
Aye, that's a shocker.
That's a real shocker.
To be fair, I didn't expect a woman's question and it threw me. That's the truth.
Listen, I've won
a former life.
Put my
3 points on the board. Thank you.
Well, that's going to climb you up the table.
Above Dazzler, lovely.
Terribly. Right, we've got Raymond Mearns with us as we celebrate our partnership with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. We'll need to hook him up with a set of headphones. Or they're down there somewhere.
Yeah, they're down in a flare here.
I'm not too sure, but any chance of taking the glasses out your gub?
It's going to be quite restrictive on radio.
I'm an ex-smoker. I'm always putting stuff in my gub.
Anyway, do you know what I wanted to bring up today? So, Brian. This has fallen onto our lap genuinely, because I would have just brought it up shamelessly anyway. But Brian is from Ayr. You are obviously former Ayr United manager.
Mm-hmm.
And then your greatest career moment as a player came against Celtic. Brian's a Celtic fan. Do you know what today's the anniversary of?
No.
Give us some picture evidence. Can we get something on the big screen to show us? Look at this guy. Look at him.
Was that the cup final?
Look at you. Look at that tie. It is a National Cup final. This is your proudest moment as a manager. And you've not even gone to the trouble of doing up your top button. Are you even wearing a belt? There's some sort of shirt issue going on here as well.
That's a Gucci belt.
How baggy is look? How long is that suit, Jack?
Tell you what, you never get fitted for that suit anyway.
Oh, goodness.
Could you not go and get a wee tailored number for the big occasion?
I thought that was a tailored number. I'll tell you what. The old hair was looking good then, wasn't it?
That make you feel old?
I think that was the end of the game. I think I was just disappointed. I was looking up to have to say, what am I doing here?
On this day, 2002, 24 years ago, a 4-0 for Ayr in the CIS, as it was called. Remember that? Claudio Caniggia, Tori Andre Flo, Barry Ferguson. That's the one where Barry Ferguson gave you his shirt.
Yeah.
Not a bad reason.
You don't mention that, do you?
By the way, I tell you what, right? This is true. We were drawing 0-0 with about... When did Flo score? About 5 minutes to go to half time. I was a different team talk, mate. Right, I was a different team talk. And they bought him for 12 million, wasn't it?
12
million. I've got guys that are earning two bob in a module playing centre half. And
you're wearing a second hand suit.
I'm wearing a second.
So there you go.
When I couldn't even afford a belt.
It's the anniversary of it. 44th minute, Flo changed the game.
There
just
you
before
go.
The break.
I was getting in half time 0-0. Tactical genius.
There you go.
And then a big £12 million guy stepped
popped up. Anyway, Brian, hard lines. Thank you for taking part. You'll need to give it a go another time.
No problem at all. I was at that cup final game.
There you go.
What, supporting Celtic? They weren't playing.
Ah, he's an airman.
Aye, but I'm from here, and one of my friends was playing for you, Gordon Burns.
Oh, Gordon Burns, yeah. Brought him in as a young kid. Eh? He was a good lad, good player.
He's featuring.
That's right. He was in... I know Gordon Burns very well. He was in the police or something, wasn't he? Or fire brigade?
Yeah, he's
having a look, guess you go. Is he right with that, Brian?
He's actually right both, because he was in the police and then he left and he's now with the fire service.
There you go.
Not a bad guess.
I don't think I've met anybody that was a policeman and in the fire service.
Yeah,
I was impressed, because I've seen you do that before. You pretend that you know people all the time. I was waiting on Brian saying, no, he was 32 when you signed him.
Oh no, he was a young kid. Good lad for Trin.
Well done, thank you.
Fireman
to
and policeman
in air. There we go. Another victory for Brian Graham and a trip down memory lane for Gordon DL. Anyway, we're delighted to be joined by Raymond Mearns, as we said earlier, part of our ongoing partnership with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. You went to your... We hooked you up with a freebie last night. You had dinner at... Are you okay, Raymond?
You okay?
I'm just listening.
You're not having a good time with the cans, are you?
I'm very experienced, you know. I've been on the radio before.
I've noticed the way you're trying to get that wire to go straight.
So we hooked you up with dinner at Ghost. Very nice.
Beautiful.
I mean, you thought it was called Ghost, which is fine.
It's Ghost without the H.
And you were impressed?
Lovely.
And you would recommend the show Fesshole that you went to see it or
all day, all day long. In fact, I'll be checking to see when it's back on.
Just at the end?
Probably, aye.
Beat the traffic like you do at the football.
I had to get away a wee bit early, to be quite honest with you. As I do, because you've got to, when you get to a certain age, you need your bed.
Words that you need to hear more often. This is not about you. Raymond Mearns, it's great to have you. You're on this Sunday at Blackfriars, is that right?
Yes, I'm in downstairs at Blackfriars in Glasgow, in Merchant City. I've got two shows, 7 o'clock, that's nearly sold out actually, and an 8:30 show. So, you know, it should go well. New show, and what it's about, it's called Raymond Mearns is Looking for Trouble. And you know what? I don't know if you'd noticed recently, but in the last year, my social medias went mental. Because I thought what I'd do, I thought I'd go for 30-odd years as a comedian, then wait till I'm nearly hitting 60 to try and hit the big time. Right? And so what happened was my social media went off the scale. But when that happens, as you know well, with you guys, when you get famous, you get a lot of bams all coming on and giving you a hard time. And the amount of hassle I've been getting is unbelievable.
What, just on Instagram?
Abuse, death threats, you name it. It's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Bebo, CFAX, Teletext, you know, all the social media. People just having a go at me.
You bought your first item off TikTok shop, you were telling me earlier.
Yeah, brilliant, love it.
Modern man.
Golf balls.
What did you buy?
Golf balls.
Golf balls.
Golf balls.
Right.
Yeah. So it says on, I've got a lovely wee guide here, and it says your show is described as featuring audience participation and swearing.
That's what I normally do. I swear, but never ever on the radio.
No, never
on the radio. But this, you know, it's a Glasgow thing, it's a human thing. And I mean, grow up. Who doesn't like a bit of swearing apart from the radio authority, right? But you know, there's a bit of,
I've always been impressed.
I can communicate very directly.
Because if you're quite... I'm amazed you don't swear on here, for what it's worth.
But you can't, we'll get shut down.
I know, but he...
No, he's got a button, don't worry about it. You've got 8 seconds.
No, I know, but I used to work in the old days. I used to sell advertising for Scott FM, the old Scott FM. And you actually can say more on the telly than you can on the radio, under the law. I believe it, that's still the case. You can say unbelievable things on the telly and get away with it. But you can't. No,
right, honestly, I swear.
It's true.
I've never seen that guy so nervous in all my life.
He's ready, hands ready to go.
Well, Al, it's too late now. Everybody's thinking it.
Because I've had to drop a... I obviously had to dump a few callers for swearing, but never one of the pundits. This could be the first. It could be breaking down now, new
I'm
barriers.
I'm far too professional, as is Gordon and Brian and yourself. You would never swear on the radio.
Quite right, but you've got a second show as well.
Aye,
at the Flying Duck.
All right. Oh, well, that's what I do. Is I run a comedy workshop for a charity in Lanarkshire, and it's called Full On. And it's, you know, people that's got some challenges with their mental health, physical health, and we get them to stun up and do a bit of comedy. And we've got that show's on the 28th at 1:30 during the day.
Brilliant. You blagged a freebie last night. You actually know Raymond. You've met Raymond before.
I've been in Raymond's house.
How
a few times,
long was he in tonight before you tried to bag a freebie for his show on Sunday?
I would reckon between the five minutes I gave him time to try and find his cans.
2.5 and he asking up my name. If I say my name at the door, will I get in?
Yeah, but my big concern is, right, 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock.
Well, it's up to you. You got your bed to go to. Maybe go to 7 o'clock. I don't know.
So o'clock, and then it's 8:30.
7 o'clock. One show's at 7.
You only do an hour.
And the next, you do 55 minutes. That's what you do. Yeah, but you only get an hour slot anyway. That's what you do at the festival. You do an hour. Standing up and talking for an hour and trying to be entertaining, it's not as easy as you think.
Well, I've sat next to him for 2 hours and I totally agree with you.
That's like a week in a jail, right? But that's what you do. That's kind of par for the course, you know.
Well, listen, the real reason we got Raymond in is because he's a Motherwell fan as well. So if there's any Motherwell fans out there who want to put your points across, obviously involved in the big game, one of the big games at the weekend, anything else you want to discuss, we'll still do that as well. We'll try and make sure Gordon DL doesn't run the risk of he's the one that swears in the present company. And let's, fingers crossed, let's all come together and hope we make it through to 8 o'clock and don't get taken off air. But give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Gordon DL are here. Raymond Mearns joins us ahead of his stint at the Glasgow International Comedy Festival as well. We can still take your calls, so we'll do that. In fact, I can see Thomas is hanging on patiently. Let me quickly give this teaser out though, first of all.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Right, I've got a teaser for you. It's topical, thanks to Mark on the line. I always like it when people get inspiration from a news story or something and going straight away ask a question. I'm a bit worried about you though, because like geography,
no, not
international
good.
Relations, that sort of thing.
Aye, decades, no good.
So it's with Emmanuel Fernandez being called up by Nigeria.
Yeah.
I'm going to regret this question. Can you name the 6 players who've played for Rangers and been capped by Nigeria? So it's pretty straightforward until you butcher.
Desers.
Oh, well done. Right, okay. Brian, any for you that jump out?
No.
If you're going to say you're leaving this question to him, you're in trouble.
Raymond, you're allowed to.
Hey, I don't know. That's a difficult one. Let me have a think.
Nah, you've got time. You've got till the end of the show. Thank you to Mark, who sent it in fulltime@clyde1.com on the teaser. No, nothing.
Well, I've got Dessers. Okay. I'm waiting for my big
I'm thinking
you've
got time, mate. I've got loads of time. Relax.
You've got
loads.
Basil
Bolli. Nope.
He's French.
Oh, look at you showing off.
Yeah, so sweet. Is that French? Tell me that's French. Please.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Gordon.
Je m'appelle.
01419511025. Thomas, look at that, right in cue. Thomas is a Motherwell fan on the line from Airdrie. How's it going, Thomas?
Not bad, so yours.
Good, thanks. What are you thinking tonight?
I just said to your producer earlier on there, I was watching the sort of Open Goal episode the other day when Jens was on it. A couple of interesting points I took from it was the fact he looks at like psychological safety for his players especially, and he says if his players don't feel safe in that sense, then they're not going to play well on the pitch and they're not going to meet his demands and stuff, you know. So I thought that was quite interesting. I just wanted to get sort of your perspective on it, especially for players that are coming from all around the world, different in their early 20s.
Tell you what, I never thought I'd see the day where I was asking Gordon Dalziel about psychological safety. I think you need to tap into that personally. But
I'm more interested in if he's turning a right corner or a left corner.
The indicator is loud. But it actually is a good point. I saw the interview that
I've not seen it.
That Jens Bertolasco did. Raymond, you are a Mullow fan.
Jens came to the gig, came to my gig in the tune in Blackfriars about 2-3 weeks ago. And what he said was,
I didn't understand you.
Well, he said that and all, but I was just as well, because, whoa, what a ripping I gave him. What he said though, I'm not letting you near the team, you'll terrify them. Because his thing is to get the players as relaxed and free of fear as possible. What he said very specifically was, he says he doesn't want to have a situation where they go in the park and they're feeling scared and are feeling like fear or afraid to make a mistake or make a move. Just go in the park, play your best, enjoy your game, and if you make a mistake, forget it, move on. And that's because I says, what's the first thing sort of like you tell the team? And that's what he said. And that reminded me, I'm a big student of the game. I'm obsessed with Brian Clough and how he was the same. He says, you can't play well if you're feeling a lot of fear, if you're on the park and you're fearful. Now, you guys played football. I don't know if that means anything to you, but how Cluffy done it, he got them all steaming before a game.
Well, it certainly helps.
Now, in the modern game, getting your players steaming, isn't he?
It's frowned upon, isn't it?
Isn't he a good thing? Yeah. Hey.
But is that, you know, has that been the key to? I know Mullow lost at the weekend, and that can happen.
They were maybe Jens ran out of Valium for the boys. I don't know.
No more psychological safety. Gordon, you look as an example, there is a probably a kind of short pass that maybe didn't need to be made for the equalising goal for Celtic. Yeah. But the whole point that is that you've got to feel, is that what that is? Feel that safety that you can do that. You're not getting lambasted for it, because ultimately it leads to far more good things than it will bad things this season. Even all this time into the season, I've seen people say, oh, that one should have just gone long up the pitch. And you think, well, but no, what's that's just not what they do.
You get a lot of managers, especially back in my day as well, that I know that if I'd have done that with John Gregor, Jock Wallace, you'd have been subbed off at park. That would have been you. You'd have been out of the team for weeks upon weeks. This guy and modern day manager, I'm sure John at Falkirk's the same, they encourage their players to go and take risks. That's what it's about. That's their style of play. They want them to go and take risks. You look at the game at the weekend, Celtic gifted Motherwell the goal when Hatate got caught, and then Motherwell gave him it straight back because they did overplay it. There was times where they could have just played the ball forward early and put themselves out of situation, and maybe even went in at half-time 1-0 up, which he probably would have. But because of the manager and the confidence and everything he gives his players, they play the right way. And he'll back that, and he'll back the mistakes.
But you can tell as well, Gordon, I'm telling you, when you watch the Well this season, they're loving it. They're enjoying themselves. The difference is night and day. For the last few years, back as far as I can remember, being a season older, just watching them, it's a joy to watch them. They're clearly enjoying themselves.
You go back to the other one at Celtic Park, the game before, when Maeda scored in the last minute. Ward gives the ball away.
Negrin for the second goal that day. You're right. Yeah.
And once again, the manager backs him to go and play like that. Whereas as a fan, you're thinking, just put it up the park and you're not going to lose that goal.
But funnily enough, Mullow fans don't really think that anymore.
Exactly. Because now they think the way the manager thinks.
Brian, is that something you recognise? I'm interested in your sort of journey of being at the, and I'll wind you up about being experienced, shall we say, but to be at the end of your career and now be managed by John McGlynn. You know, that coming at this stage in your career, has that even opened your eyes a little bit?
No, I've learnt so much with John this year, and obviously I'd worked previously with him before, but I think he's developed as well and he's got better over the years. And as me as well, as a young coach, going in, learning off his John McGlynn, seeing him daily, seeing how hard he works, but he gives his players that freedom to go and express themselves. Back when I first came through, where if you lost the ball, you had the senior pros that were on and top of you, and sometimes you were actually scared to take the ball at times as you're a young boy. But now it's about promoting these young kids, really showing them courage to go and express themselves, to go and make the team better, but make themselves better as well. And the game has changed a lot since I first started to where it is now, and I think it's for the better. But sometimes I do think teams overplay. That's my opinion. I do would like to see, I said to you before the show, the game I watched last week was Real Madrid Man City. Real Madrid won 3-0. It's the best game of football I've watched in a long time, because it was two teams trying to attack. It wasn't people just playing safe for the sake of playing safe. They were going and trying to score goals, and that's when football for me is enjoyable. Sometimes I think teams try and play a certain way when they've not got the caliber of player. Whereas Motherwell, they play the way they play it from the very start, when it wasn't going well, we've spoken about in the cup games, and they've continued it throughout the full season, and they're getting the plaudits they deserve. They're not going to win the league, but what a fantastic season they're having.
I mean, Thomas, back-to-back defeats, which is not something you're used to. I mean, even conceding three goals in one game, not what you're used to, but still feeling pretty confident that you can go and finish the season on a high.
Oh, really confident. I think fair play to Dundee. When I was at the game, they were a really strong team on the day, and we just, for whatever reason, we couldn't score any goals. We had the chances, we just couldn't finish the end result. But fair play to them, they were really solid. Celtic, obviously, you go 1-0 up, 1-1, the mistakes will happen sometimes, is what it is, and then the penalty and the red card. But that was definitely a red card for Oxlade-Chamberlain. And you never know what happens after they get a man sent off. So it kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier. But I think we can still go on and get a really, really good finish to the season. Maybe get a third, hopefully. But we'll see what happens.
That said, you know, it's a big game at the weekend.
Yeah,
because at home to Hibs, you know, Thomas has just said that there, you can play well, you could be the better side, you can miss chances. And if you lose that game against Hibs, all of a sudden that picture looks a bit different. They're far points. Too close for comfort then.
Yeah, 3 points behind you. The only confidence you've got in the fact that Motherwell have been brilliant at Fir Park, let's be honest about it. I think the last 11 games, it's only Rangers that scored against them. Their clean sheets are incredible. The style of football they're playing on their home pitch. Their crowds are up as well. Everybody's going along to watch it. It will be a good game, but home advantage, I would back Motherwell all day.
Oh, definitely. I think the Wellow win. Hibs won't beat us. No chance. And I've got a lot of mates that are Hibbies, and it's going to be great. Sticking it to them.
Sitting in Hugh Keevan's seat and throwing out big predictions. Raymond, you know, been involved in the Wells Society as well. I know you were out doing a comedy night there last week.
Yep.
Without getting too romantic about it, but is this where you're seeing everything come together, where Motherwell, they are fan owned, they have the Wells Society, and you see the way everyone seems to be buying into it? I mean, 7,000 home fans a couple of weeks ago. Now, it's worth bearing in mind that this club has finished third, it has finished second in recent times. But it is then undeniably the style that's getting people through the door, because it's not like they've not experienced a high league finish before.
Well, actually, they've changed the way they compile the figures, actually. I was at the AGM, and they actually now count the season ticket holders. What they used to do, they'd only count actual people in the ground, and now they count the season ticket holders. But I can tell you, the ground's busier. I find it harder and harder to get a pie these days. So it's definitely busier.
That's how you measure it.
That's how I measure it. I can feel my ribs. So
I thought you were going to see a parting space.
I think it's of its moment, right? So clearly Jens is going to be in people's radar. You know, Elijah Just is going to be in people's radar. Tamanda's going to be in people's radar, right? Elliot Ward, some great players in the team. I mean, Stephen Welsh has been colossal for us this season. And people are watching that, and people are going to come in for some of the players. So what does that mean? It means we're not going to have the guys there maybe next season or the season after. It's just we're living in the moment, enjoying the moment, and we're playing well. But I think what's interesting, what you say, Brian, it's changing. I think we're sitting watching football, and we are enjoying seeing, and managers now are letting people express themselves, and you would hope that there's less of that fear in the game.
That's what you're after, case. You want it to be exciting. You want, especially young kids coming through now, just go to the Premier League down south. You see a young kid score his first goal in the Premier League, youngest player to do that. But up here in Scotland, there is a lot of young players, and they are getting the chance to play at the top level of the game, and they are doing well. Go back to Finlay Curtis, out on loan from Rangers, goes to Kilmarnock, gets himself a call up to Scotland. So there is a pathway for these young kids to go and express themselves.
Yeah, and when kids play football, they're exuberant, you know, they're enthusiastic, and then they come into the system and that kind of gets knocked out of them because of the fear. You know, as Gordon was saying when you were playing, well, you both played, and you're scared to lose the ball and get away. The senior pros are on your back, the fans are on your back, the manager's on your back, social media's on your back. So
that's no change, by the way, social media.
I know. Try doing comedy gigs.
I lived with the greatest shout for years playing football. You'll get 10 minutes and you're off. That's all. You'll get 10 minutes and you're off. And it usually worked. I was usually off after 10
minutes. Jens has had a lot of praise, understandably, for the football, but he seems quite serious. I can't really imagine him in a comedy environment, but he enjoyed the show.
He said yes, it was a very good show and a very intelligent man, and I thought, he's not understood a word I've said.
Because he is, you know, with that, not to draw too many comparisons, you know, John McGlynn, but they both seem quite intense, you know. Absolutely,
yeah, they're both baldy.
I was thinking about going there, and then you've mentioned it, which is fine.
That's all right, I mentioned it, so you don't have to.
But do you know what I mean, Brian? Does that come with the territory? They both seem so set in what they do, so intense, so absolutely steadfast in their
really,
message.
It's not really intense, they've just got really high standards for themselves as well. First and foremost, they want to do a good job, because if our players are not doing it in the pitch, then it's the manager that gets it. So both of those managers this season are having great seasons. Obviously, we find ourselves in the Scottish Cup semi-final, but we've got to look forward to be a hard game against Dunfermline, but let's not lie here, we want to get to the final. We're so close to cementing that top six place. I know DL keeps saying it every single week that it's been done for a number of weeks, but until it's done, you're basically, but we're having a good season, and that's all to do with John and his staff, how early they're in the building, how late they leave, their commitment to their work, it's next to none. And for me, as a player that's coming to the end of my career, seeing how he works on a daily basis, I'm learning so much off him. I'm like a sponge trying to take it all in.
You see how awkward he was earlier when someone asked about Barney Stewart moving on. We could ask him if he thinks Stephen McGinn's going to leave Falkirk and be the next St Mirren manager.
How would you think?
And really put him under pressure.
Graham.
No, listen, used to tonight, by the way. He used to know my gaffer's listening to this show.
He DL'd you off on that.
He caught me a giraffe last week, by the way. So we've been calling for each other the last couple of weeks, anyway, but it's just all love.
Right, Thomas, thank you very much. Keep the calls coming in. What about these six players who've played for Rangers and capped by Nigeria? You've got Dessers.
Aribo?
Yes. Brian?
Bassey?
Yes, so that's three down, three to get. We'll get them next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's show. 0141 951 1025. If you want to join in, still plenty of time. Brian Graham and Gordon DL. And we're joined by Raymond Mearns, looking ahead to his show at the Glasgow International Comedy Festival as well. So still plenty happening across the city. Make sure you check it out. Gordon DL was out and about last night. Yes, we had to entice him in with the free dinner, but we got him along to a comedy show as well. So if you've got any calls for us, please share them before the end. You have work to do on Mark's teaser. Just a bit of housekeeping. Remember, if you want to hear your question used on the show, the email is fulltime@clyde1.com. And it's a thanks to Arcoplan Glasgow, our new sponsors on this as well. So Mark says, it's a nod to Emmanuel Fernandez. Can you name six players who've played a first team game for Rangers and have a full cap for Nigeria? You've got Dessers, Bassey, Aribo.
I've got another one. Balogun?
Yes, 46 Nigeria caps.
Come on, Brian, help out now.
Aluko.
Oh, well done. Only one to get, so we might as well wait.
That'll be the hardest one.
Probably.
Yeah,
I thought Luko was quite tricky because you're going back a wee bit for that one.
Yeah, good one, Brigel.
You've done not too badly on that. So keep the guesses coming from you two. And again, questions, fire them over to us, please. Just looking at, if you feel like the Champions League results, just expect Bodo Glimt to win every game from now to the end of is this the fairy tale over now? They've just gone 4-0 down away to Sporting Lisbon. Is everybody going to need to get new inspiration,
an extra time
for the wee clubs in Europe? They've done sensational, hadn't they? But 4-0 down, I don't think anyone would have seen that one coming. Yeah, 4 at the moment, Bodo Glimt. So there we go. Keep the calls coming. Let's hear a bit from Steve Clark. Actually, he
has described his Scotland future as being 50-50. I think he'd previously sort of suggested that it wouldn't be as high as that, but he says the ball is in the Scottish FA's court.
I think I said it a way back, 25-75, probably go 50-50 now. But I think I'm waiting on the Scottish FA now come to me and say, look, this is what we see as the future. And if I'm part of that, then we can have that discussion. The thing in my head is what do I do next? Where do I go next? What's next for me? I've qualified for three tournaments out of four. I think that's a pretty decent record. I'd like to do a little bit better in the tournament this summer. In the Scottish FA, I've got to think a little bit about what's next for them. Do they think that I'm the guy that can go forward and progress the squad into the next tournament and hopefully set us up for a further World Cup qualification in 4 years' time? So that's what they have to decide. I've just got to sit and wait and see if any club jobs, if anybody approaches me between now and the end of the season, and then I'll have a decision to make. And like I say, at the moment, I don't really have a choice to make because they haven't put an offer in front of me and none of the club sides have put an offer in front of me either. So I'm really comfortable. Should he stay or should he go? Really comfortable.
Feels like he's putting it out there a bit though.
Mm-hmm. Interesting he mentioned a club job. You just wonder if he's at that stage now that he's maybe getting itchy feet to get back on the training ground day in, day out, because obviously international football is completely different. You only meet up with your team at international breaks for a couple of weeks and then they're off again to their parent club. So it'll be an interesting watch to see where Steve Clarke ends up this season.
You've got a Scotland podcast on the go these days, Raymond, so you've got a vested interest.
Yeah.
Does it make sense to just wait until after the World Cup either way?
Well, I was really surprised when I heard that because, I mean, who else do we get in? He's done fantastic. We what he's got, there's a great squad of players, right? With the best generation we've had for a long time. I mean, it's kind of strange to me that he's not going to carry on after the World Cup.
But obviously he said he's not heard for the SFA, so maybe they're looking to see how it goes in America, because obviously we've seen how it went in Germany. It didn't go as everybody would have liked. The man, you've got to give him huge credit. Three out of four tournaments where we hadn't been there for so long, he's done an incredible job. Yeah. But at the same time, like everything else, you always want that wee bit more. Mm. As fans, you want to try and progress, especially when you get to those group games. Can we get through that group? How far can we go? And that's a big one for me.
Let's bring in Ian, who is on the line. Ian, it's been a busy couple of days on that front because there was a squad announced yesterday. Steve Clarke talking about his future. What's on your mind?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. We're talking about the Scotland squad, and it looks like there's a lot of players there that are coming, kind of experimental. I mean, there's a lot of guys here that aren't regulars, and some of obviously the number one starters are injured. So we've got likes of like Finlay Curtis coming back into the squad. I think that's an interesting one. But there was one that's probably not many people know about or came. I saw a story about Robbie Urey, an ex-Rangers player who's playing in Sweden. He's a number nine, and I've seen videos of him. He looks very, very quick and clever, and I was just thinking that there was a story of him possibly being called up to the Czech Republic through his grandfather, and I was wondering whether that's something that maybe Scotland should be on their mind, maybe for future call-ups, because he looks like a good player, you know?
But he's in the under 20. He is in the 21s today, so you know you'd have to. Well, it's more than an assumption. They're aware he's in that system. Brian, Ian's right. Maybe a name that's dropped off the radar a bit. He was a kid at Rangers, I think, signed by. He was at Anderlecht and went into their sort of B team. He's playing out in Sweden, I think, 11 goals or something last season. So, but we're not in a position to overlook any number nines, are we?
No, of course not. We don't score enough goals as a national side, and if you can get a number nine that's scoring you regular goals week in week out, then they're gold dust. You want them in your squad. But it's another young player mentioned. Obviously people have mentioned Barney Stewart about getting to that national side. Both of those players find themselves in under 21s and they're still finding themselves in the game. They're going to go and express themselves at under 21 level, and hopefully one day both of them can progress into the first team.
Gordon, it's that out of sight out of mind thing is difficult, because if we're Ian, in fact Ian lives in Gdansk, so he's maybe got a bit more of a wider view of the continent than we do. I'm well aware that Sweden is not Poland, by the way, for anyone who's waiting to pick me up on that. But you know, if most people have been honest, they won't have seen Robbie Urey play. I remember when Max Johnson went over to Sturm Graz, you've got a notion of what that might be like. That play, and it's great that players go and try different things and different styles. But I suppose what he'll need to do is go and turn up for the 21s this time, show what he's capable of, try and make that progression.
Well,
that
it's
way.
A stepping stone into the international, the full international squad. Yes, he's playing over in Sweden. I hadn't really heard a lot about him either, Gordon, I've got to be honest with you. But I'm sure Steve Clark knows everything about the boy. He'll have watched the under-21s. Scott Gemmell's there as a manager. He'll be in close contact with him about him as well. So he'll certainly be on the radar. And if he goes and produces the goods like Barney Stewart, then obviously they're a future going forward.
Would you have preferred a bit more of that, Ian, in this squad? A bit more sort of left field to try a few different things out?
So it needs to be more left field than it is. There's a lot of guys that weren't really regulars from previous squads, but you know, it must be a really exciting time for these guys. I think especially the ones on the outsider coming in, they've got a really, really good chance if they play well enough that they could go to the World Cup. So it's quite a carrot for them, you know.
Raymond, with I was going to ask Raymond, his Motherwell and Scotland hat on. I think, you know, Steve Clark was asked along the lines, I'm paraphrasing, but Motherwell and Hearts doing well, there's no Motherwell or Hearts players, and he said that he felt maybe those teams were, you know, the sum of their parts sort of thing rather than the individuals. But do you feel there was a few that maybe had a chance?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, I think maybe with the exception of that, but there's not a lot of Scottish.
Yeah, Stephen Welsh, boys in Elliot the team. Watt, they'd be the only, Stephen O'Donnell.
Sodge had been in the squad. It was obviously Euros, 2020-21. But you know, he's getting on a bit now. I mean, with the exception of maybe Welsh, I don't think. Who else is there, really?
I remember there was a tiny bit about Elliot Watt earlier in the season, but maybe his injury and stuff just came at a different time. I think it's lumping Hearts into that as well, though, Brian. That's it. You know, those two were packaged together in the question. You see people looking at maybe, I think this came up last night, Grant Hanley's got over 60 caps. He was part of a team that got us. He'll go to the World Cup. I don't think there's any doubt.
I think he'll go to the World Cup as well.
But because he's not been playing at the moment, he's out injured. Someone mentioned last night, do you bring a Craig Halkett in just to this squad, just to see what that looks like?
How he does, it's two games. But listen, at the same time, if Hanley's going to the World Cup, we're just assuming here, then Steve Clark, he sees he's been out injured, he can bring him in, get him up to
involved.
Get him involved, get him playing more games, then he's back into the Hibs side for the remainder of the season. Then he's on the plane, he's fit and he's ready to go. He has been a mainstay for him over the course, and he's not really let him down, so you would like to think that he would be on the plane. But just going back to Ian's point there, talking about number nines, Ross Stewart's now back fit down at Southampton. He scored a couple of goals of late. Will he maybe feel a bit hard done
did
by?
Did you see Ollie McBurney sharing the Scotland squad on his Instagram story?
No, I did not, no. So he's no happy either.
I just wondered if that was the wee passive-aggressive one, that look at this group, I should have been in that.
I'm
not reading too much into that. Anyway, thank you, Ian. Gdansk, quickly in the teaser, one more Nigerian international to play for Rangers: Dessers, Balogun, Bassey, Aribo, and Aluko.
Any idea?
I can't remember his name.
Yes.
Sadiq.
Umar Sadiq.
Yeah.
Horrendous at Rangers and has gone on to have an unbelievable career. So there you go, okay. Umar Sadiq. Raymond Mellon's a pleasure to have you. Remind us, where can our listeners see you?
I'll be on at Blackfriars in the Merchant City on Sunday, the 22nd of March, 7 o'clock and 8:30. And get Gordon, your tickets at raymondmearns.co.uk.
And Gordon DL, are you going?
Oh, all day. I'm going for both shows.
Both.
It'd be great if you gone.
Brilliant. Thank you to Raymond for joining us tonight. Make sure you check out everything that's going on with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. Brian Graham and Gordon DL get a kind of average, normal size. Thank you for joining us. The biggest thanks always to you for your company. We do it all over again tomorrow from 6. Have a good one.